Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh, and I see them lads behind me there, Christy Ring there with the head bandages. We need a few more of them for the guys in these Malies. Look, the Malies, was it a Malie? No, it was a bit of pushing and shoving. It's just that nobody wants to kind of back down at that stage.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
It's nice to be joined by Scott Beament. How are things, Scott?
Very well. Deep in preparation and kind of ready to go.
Nine uncapped players in the squad there today. Talk to me about that decision making behind that. Is that kind of just to create competition within the group or rewards from the Celtic Challenge?
There's a natural point, isn't there, after a World Cup where you look to refresh the group. We've got so much talent, so much potential coming through the Irish system, whether it be the WNTS, the Pathway, the Celtic Challenge, and the girls that are named fully deserving of their opportunity. Of those nine, six have already been in camp with us, and some on multiple occasions. So actually, they don't come in as new. They come in as uncapped, but have been a part of our group for a good while. Three of them are new in, but they fully earned their opportunity through the Celtic Challenge. And you know, really exciting, really, to see what they can do when they're in camp with us. Really excited to see how they push the people that you would say could potentially be not ahead of them, but like already in experience and already had opportunities to show what they can do. And we think they're going to come in, and we think that we're going to see an elevated layer of competition, which hopefully drives performance.
Really positive last couple of tournaments. I suppose the World Cup went really well, very close to a semi-final, and also very positive Six Nations. Coming into this one, where do you think the team is at? Do you think that top two kind of bridge is shortening?
Yeah, I think people are seeing us get closer to the World Cup contenders. The World Cup quarter final was a tough match to be involved in, but it was because we lost a game that we should have won. And I remember a couple of years ago sitting and we were debriefing after a game, and we played Italy, and we hadn't won any games for 2 years, and it was the first game in the Six Nations, and it was a game that we were dominant with the ball, dominant in territory, and a game that we should have won, and couldn't convert the performance to the result. That was 2 years ago. The levels of experience that we've got within the players now, their ability to perform under pressure, is ever increasing. We're delighted to see that we're playing over in Clermont when we play France, and we know that we're gunning for these teams. We think we've got capability to go and create more and more problems. So the last 2 years we've only won two games in the Six Nations. We've got to take our performances on. We need more results than that. We've certainly got three opportunities to play in Ireland, and they're certainly games that we're targeting on the back of the World Cup. And looking at that gap between the World Cup contenders and sort of the rest of the world, it's a big part for us over as we continue to refresh our squad with the Australia 2029 in mind, that we've got to get after it. So is this the year? Possibly. We're going to keep going after our performance. We want to go longer into a game against England. We want to go longer into games against France so that we can get them under pressure. And if we do get them under pressure, we'll start picking up the results.
Before I let you go, some personal news broke this morning. You're signed on until 2029. Talk to us about that.
Look, it was an easy decision, really. The connection that I have both with the Irish players and the Ireland public has been incredible to be a part of. It's a story that's not been finished yet. We've done the first part in terms of getting to a World Cup and taking people along the way with us. We've grown our wave. This wave has got so much more to go, so much more potential within it, and not just the short term, the long term. There's so many players coming through that are going to stand Ireland in good stead, really, for competitions, not just in this World Cup cycle, but ones after. So I think there's to not be part of this next bit would have been too soon. I'm delighted and proud with how the group is doing, and you know, we've got some new energy in the group, and I want to see what can be achieved with it.
This tournament is full of history, I suppose. You have the Twickenham game, 60,000+ in attendance, due to be in attendance. The Aviva Stadium game, first ever women's game there. Are you aiming for history off the back of all that as well?
History is going to continue to be written, regardless of crowd, stadiums, opportunities. Like we're at such a growth area of our sport, and stuff we're trying to do in the green jersey is I would like to think we're going to keep writing history. We're going to keep writing a story that's bigger. We've dared players to dream big, to have aspirations. We want to get to the World Cup, and we want to be in the mix to win the thing in 3.5 years' time. So there's a few things we need to check off in the journey towards that. But we've got the players, we've got the capability, we've got the coaching group, and I believe we've got the game. So now we've just got to get transfer, we've got to bring it back together, transfer that momentum that we'd started growing through the World Cup and keep that going through the Six Nations.
Settling in okay with the captaincy role, are you?
Yeah, I'm settling now. I've known for a couple of months. So we had a calibration camp in January, so I got a little bit of experience at that, kind of in the role on pitch and with the girls. So yeah, it's an absolute honour and an absolute privilege, and I can't wait to really get into it.
Are the squad kind of seeing a different Erin King now that she has a bit of power?
I'd hope not. When I got told I was going to be captain, I kind of, the advice everyone gave me was just be yourself and carry on doing what you're doing. So yeah, I think I'm really just going to stick to me being me and, you know, not change and just continue leading by example more than anything else.
Are there any bits of responsibility that you've notice that you've had to take on since you found out?
Well, obviously, you know, like you're kind of more looked upon in the squad, and you know, people turn to you a little bit more and come to you for things and for advice and for your, you know, your input a little bit more. So yeah, definitely taking on that a little bit, but I've really enjoyed it, and you know, I have a lot to give to this team, especially after the year that I've had and the year that the girls have had. So yeah, I think it's a really exciting opportunity, and I can't wait to grab it with two hands.
Do you feel like that time spent out has kind of lended itself to your role now in terms of maturity as a player and as a person, that you had to go through such a difficult thing at such a young age? Do you think that's kind of played into also the decision of Scott to give you the captaincy, but also your ability to do so?
Yeah, I think 100%. I've learned so much about myself, about the sport, about, you know, just different perspectives, and I'm so grateful to be in the position I'm in. And I think, yeah, to have the possibility of rugby taken away from me at only 21 has matured me so much, and definitely think if I can get through that, I can do anything. And that's the kind of mindset that I want the squad to have, that we can do things even when told you can't, and prove people wrong and things like that. So yeah, I think it's definitely, I've gained so much experience and gained like just so much perspective with the injury, and it's definitely going to help going into the role.
You've had a decent run of games in the Celtic Challenge Cup. Have you had to adapt your game a little bit, or are you kind of back to where you were before the injury?
I think the first few games I was still finding my feet a little bit, but as they've built up, I'd hope that, you know, I'm like I was last year, hopefully better. I definitely have found my feet now, and I've played a few 80 minutes and, you know, scoring a few tries and things like that. So yeah, I think I'm back to where I want to be, and hopefully that'll I'll keep getting better and better, and get more confidence with the games.
It's a pretty new squad, 9 new caps. Bit of an onus on you to help them integrate, obviously, as a player that's been there and now captain. Do you feel that?
A little bit, but like I think we've such a good culture, and you know, everyone in the team is so welcoming, and a lot of these girls have been around, and a lot of them we know from Celtic Challenge, so yeah. Which is great, and that's why the Celtic Challenge is so good. People get like an introduction to the level that this level and the standards that we want and that we play at early on. So I'm excited to make it really special for them, and hopefully get the girls get their caps. And for me it's kind of person before the player, and as long as they're happy and they're enjoying themselves, I think the rugby will come.
And Scott, obviously news there today that he's signed on till 2029. I'm sure you're delighted to hear that. It seems like he's all of a very great relationship, really positive relationship with him.
Yeah, it's definitely so exciting. I think that camaraderie there, what we've built with Scott over the last few years, it's so exciting that we can continue that, and it gives, you know, myself great peace of mind that we have a coach that we trust and that we can all, you know, we all buy into, and to have that guaranteed till the next World Cup is really exciting. And like at each tournament that we play, I think we do improve, and we've shown that. And the fact that there's 9 uncapped players in this squad just shows you the players coming through and how the pathways are working.
The last few years, I suppose there's been kind of an obvious gap between the top two in England and France. Do you feel like now, the positive performance against France, especially last year, do you feel like that gap is now closing and going into this tournament that you have a real chance of breaking that top two?
Yeah, I think 100%. You know, there is that big gap between, you know, the teams that have been professional for a little bit longer than us. And I think we have shown over the last few years that we are bridging that gap a little bit. I mean, in the Six Nations last year, we did hold it to England for the first, I think, 46 minutes or something like that. And it was 5-7 at half time. So if we can even build on that, like we did from year to year, that would be amazing. And then obviously, yeah, with the France, that quarter final, I think we have a little bit of a bitter taste in our mouth, and I think it's going to be a bit of a revenge game or something.
Well, so not intended, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it's really exciting, and I think we have a really special team, and I do really hope that we can put in performances that I know we're capable of.
And finally, before I let you go, Emily Costigan obviously won't be in the squad this time around because she's got some great news having twins. Just a word on her and her kind of presence in the squad and how much she'll be missed.
Yeah, obviously Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe, an absolute legend of the game. I've been fortunate to play alongside her for the past 5-6 years. She was a leader in my sevens team, and I think coming into the role that I'm in, I looked back on all the leaders I've had, and she's one of the greats, and she's still around the squad, and I'm so lucky that I get to lean on someone like her with the experience that she has. She's so selfless, and there's so, if I can be half the kind of person she is around camp, I would love that. She, on and off pitch, she's just outstanding, and the way she carries herself is just like no one else. And it's such exciting news, and you know, she'll definitely be back, which is really exciting as well. And she's still training away, and she's going to be in and around camp, so yeah, we can really lean on her, and I can go to her for advice leadership wise so yeah, so lucky to have someone like her.
Have you done that with her and kind of the previous captains as well over the last few years in terms of, you know, since you got this role?
I've lent on a few girls that I've lucky enough to be captained by. You know, Sam Monaghan is still in the squad, and to have someone like that by my side and someone I can lean on who has the experience and who I look up to myself and welcomed me into the squad, I'm so lucky to have. And then yeah, the likes of Lee and, you know, Adele McMahon, who is also still around the team, is great. And yeah, I won't be alone. Like, anything I need, they're always there for me, and they've been great so far.
Eve Higgins, how are things?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Busy day here at the Aon headquarters. Squad announced, excited?
Yeah, very excited. Obviously, the squad's been announced as 9 new caps, which is a great thing to have. We're only speaking as players there that we couldn't even think of the 9 players, because a lot of these players have been with us for the last number of years, and hopefully they'll have the opportunity to put on a green jersey now. But like, the fact that they've been amongst us for the last number of years has been huge, and yeah, hopefully they'll get an opportunity.
You were quite a young player when you first got into the Irish squad. Was it 2017, I believe? It was your first squad that you got named in, or extended squad. Do you feel an onus now as someone that's been around the block and been here for a few years to kind of help integrate them into the squad?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, like from growing up and being involved for so long, you know what's a good environment to be in, and you just want to make sure that when you reflect on yourself coming in, you know, what would you have wanted to you know, feel and to see from players. And yeah, it's hugely exciting that there's so many new players, and yeah, it's a good place to be, and it's weird to think that you're kind of a senior player at this stage. So yeah,
One of the players that you've been playing Wolfhounds, obviously, and one of the players that you've gotten to play with a lot in Ireland and with them is Aoife Dalton. Talk to me about that relationship, how that's built, and getting a run of games at club and at international level.
Yeah, like, obviously we're very fortunate to be playing together with Wolfhounds, and yeah, I've known Dalto since 2021-22 possibly. So yeah, it's been great to have game time with her, train week in, week out. But then, like, likely also, like, in the centre partnerships, like, we're training with Enya throughout the week, and we have Nancy and stuff across the pond doing her thing. So yeah, no, we're lucky in the centre partnerships we have, and we're quite a close group anyway.
I was going to ask about that competition in camp now, because obviously, like you say, Nancy over in Exeter, and Enya's been there for many years. What's that like now in camp? Is it competitive, but positive at the same time.
Yeah, like obviously we're all rugby players, and yeah, obviously you want to put the green jersey on, but also we're good friends. You know, Enya's probably one of my closest friends, and it's good to be in an environment like that, because we push each other on, but off the pitch then we're good friends. So it's great to have the competition. You want that competition in a squad, and it's great that Scott has put players together to make that competition.
There's a couple of bits of history already due to happen in this Six Nations for Ireland. I suppose the Six Nations record attendance in the opening game against England is already confirmed before the game has started. And then you also have the first ever game in the Aviva Stadium for the women. Talk to me about that and what it means to you and the rest of the squad.
For the Aviva game or
yeah.
The Aviva game, it's like I was a kid watching the women play after a men's game in the Six Nations in 2015 and being in that crowd and thinking, oh, this is cool. But the fact that now we get to play in a Six Nations game and a standalone women's game for the first time ever in the Aviva is huge, and already ticket sales are tracking really well, that we're going to more than break our attendance record that we set last year. So the fact that our performances from last year's Six Nations going into the World Cup has kind of driven this support is huge for us, and it's something we want as a team. We want to just grow our support as much as we can.
There's a couple of big games in that tournament now. I suppose you have the kind of that rivalry with France is gathering momentum now after last year in the World Cup, but then also England, it feels like that gap has been bridged a little bit. Do you feel that in camp, and the rest of the players feel that top two has been kind of broken into at this stage?
Yeah, 100%. Like we definitely can see that we're closing the gap. Like if you bring it back to last Six Nations, the French game, there was very much a turning point at like the 65th minute that we, you know, if we just made a different decision or made a few different decisions, you know, it could have been a difference between the end of that game. And likewise in the England game, you know, our first half, we probably let a few chances out going into half time. If you're a few scores ahead, is a hugely different perspective to have, and we obviously weren't clinical enough in the second half, and they showed their world class ability in taking it away from us, or you know, to perform in the second half a lot better than us. And we definitely feel that gap closing, and especially the World Cup, we're all absolutely gutted after that quarter final. We all knew it ourselves that we had the ability to win that game, and I just know for myself that when that final whistle went, like one of the first thoughts that were in my head was, I'm looking forward to the Six Nations game, and we only get to play them again now in the next few months. So very much relishing another opportunity to play these two great teams.
I was mentioning that it's a new look squad this time around, but one person that is missing is Emily Koskin. Obviously news that she's twins on the way. Talk to me about her presence in camp and how much she'll be missed.
Yeah, like thankfully she'll be very much amongst the camp. She's I can't even describe how good a person she is, how good a player. Like, she's a people's person first, you know. She's one of the most caring people I know, and she's a leader through and through. And herself and Neil are going to be the best parents ever. So I'm very, very excited for them. But she's going to be very much missed, obviously, on the pitch, but at least we'll have her off the pitch. She'll always be there, and she'll be able to support us in a different capacity this time.
You were kind of all over social media over the last couple of weeks because you were, I think, just travelling around Dublin with Ilona Maher. How did that come about?
Ilona and her sister live, like, I've known probably since 2018 in the series, and you just get to chatting to other teams and spending nights out with them, like depending on where you are and whether that's Vancouver or whatever, and you just get to know people. And they're great people. Like, they're the most down to earth people ever, and they've obviously been through a lot over the last 2 years, and it was great catching up with them. Their whole family, like, has never changed in the last number of years, and they're great people. Yeah,
I think Jordan Conroy was hanging around as well.
Yeah, it was great catching up with Jordan as well. Hadn't seen Jordan in a while. It was a great time. It was a very enjoyable night and a day, and yeah, just brought them around for some coffee exploration, some cinnamon rolls, and the Irish delicacy that is a Chinese spice bag. Yeah.
Perfect. She was getting stopped a lot around the place as well, wasn't she? She's quite fit.
Oh, Oh my god. I said it to her, I was like, you picked some weekend to come, but they're in a Six Nations weekend. And she ended up going to the game and stuff. But yeah, I've never been with someone who has been stopped so much from men and women. She's just like, she's grown the sport like tremendously, and I don't think you will even ever see what effect she's had because it's been so huge. But again, has not changed as a person since I've known her since 2018. Like, she's one of the best people, and wants nothing more but for rugby to grow. And she's a great role model to have. I don't know how she does this, to be honest with you.
Just finally, before I let you go, head coach Scott Beaman has signed on until 2029. Must be great news for the camp.
Yeah, 100%. Like, going into a Six Nations knowing that there's consistency after is huge for us. You know, I've spoken about it, that when Scott came in his first year, we were in WSV3 Dubai, and just scraping by, beating Spain. A year later, we're coming second in a WXV1, beating New Zealand, first time in a while. And like, we've just built on performances, and hopefully we can do that now going leading into Australia, the next World Cup, which is probably going to fly by before we know it. So yeah, it's great to have that consistency and that knowing that that is what our future is over the next few years.
Joined by Stacey Flood. Stacey, how are things?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Not too bad. We're in the Aon HQ here. Exciting day. The squad's out for the Six Nations. Thoughts? Excited? Nervous?
Bit of everything, I think. Coming home and having three home games for Six Nations after a big World Cup for us. Hopefully we get the Irish behind us and we get a few feet to the crowd and have a good Six Nations.
9 uncapped players, so as a more kind of experienced player in the squad, a bit of an onus on you to help them integrate. Have you felt that coming into this Six Nations?
Well, playing with some of them on the Wolfhounds has been great, so you get to know them as a player and like what type of style they play and stuff like that, and I think that's pretty exciting playing with them. Them girls are all coming through and they're all ready to rear and to go, so I think it's an exciting time for Irish rugby, and having them come in and kind of give energy to the squad again is exciting times.
Exciting is a great word, because there's a couple of milestones already. I was talking to Bafin about them there, that already achieved coming into the Six Nations with the 60,000+ in Twickenham, already confirmed record attendance for the Six Nations, and also the first ever game in the Aviva for the women's the women's team. Talk to me about that, what it means to you.
Yeah, it's just class, isn't it? Like, I think when you're growing up and you're like, if you're playing rugby or GAA and you see the home stadium, and that's what you kind of dream of playing in and kind of what you want to achieve. And I think it's so exciting to have that fixture in the Aviva, and even in Twickenham, like, it's just such a big rugby stadium. There's so many milestones there, even for Irish rugby in general. I think it's really exciting. And I think what's cool about the women's team is that we play in all the provinces. So we're playing in Ulster, and we're playing in Connacht this year as well for the first time in Connacht. I think that's really exciting, and hopefully we get the crowds to the games, and hopefully we have more fixtures in the Aviva for years to come.
Bafin was kind of saying that there was a point where she thought even maybe playing in the Aviva wasn't attainable for the women's team. Did you feel that as well coming through the ranks?
Yeah, 100%. Like, even up until like last year, the year before, like, I just didn't think it was an option for us. And I think it's really exciting, and hopefully women's rugby stays there as well as other places. But that'll all just depend on a lot of things. But it's really exciting that we have it this year, and we have a platform to finish out the Six Nations there. I think it's going to be really special.
There's a couple of big games there now as well outside of that. I suppose the France is, a couple of people have been saying it's a bit of a grudge match now after last year. Do you feel like that gap, I suppose it's always been the historic thing with the Six Nations with the women's, that it was France and England were at the top and everyone was trying to catch them. Do you feel like that's a bridge that been gapped, or a gap that's been bridged at this stage?
Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely been starting to be bridged, and it's definitely bridging. Like, it's a lot more competitive than it was, and I think it's exactly like the men's Six Nations. Like, I don't think anyone could have guessed half of the results for the fixtures this year, so it was probably everyone saying it's like one of the best Six Nations they've watched and some of the best games of rugby they watch, because they never really knew. And I think that's where we want to get women's rugby to, and it's starting to get there. So hopefully, like, all the games are competitive, and like, there's no easy game in rugby ever, so I think that's exciting as well. So hopefully we can have another exciting few games.
Can I just ask you about kicking in the game? Really random segue here, but I suppose even in the Clover and Wolfhounds, the Celtic Challenge, kicking is really starting to dominate rugby at the minute. Would suit you technically with your GAA background? Have you incorporated that into your game in recent times coming into the season?
Yeah, I think it's having the right times to kick, or thinking of like what scenarios you want to kick in, like not just always having it as your one option. Like, you want to be a run, kick, pass threat. You don't want to just have one string on your bow. So I think it is important, especially for territory. Like, you don't want to be playing in your own 22 for too long or your own half for too long. You want to get down the field, and we're lucky we have that in, like, we've such good kickers in the team. We've Dana, Katrina, Eve, Enya. I can kick. Like, I think it's really important that you don't just have one option, but multiple options and like multiple types of kicks as well. So I think we're quite lucky in our squad that people have come from different backgrounds, and we can all kick and catch a rugby ball.
Incorporating new players, as I mentioned, there's some uncapped players coming in. Is there, how does that dynamic work with the, I suppose, the Green Wave, and it's such a tight-knit group, and you all seem to be friends outside of games and training? How does that work in terms of bringing players in? And has that been something that you found easy to do over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think it's been really good. Like, obviously you have to get to know people on different levels when they become your teammate. You're not just seeing them from afar, playing against them. And I think the underage system has really helped with that, and the Wolfhound. So you're not just meeting people for the first time in camp ever. You've played against them, or you've crossed paths somehow. We had a connection camp a few weeks ago just to get to know some of the newer players. So that's always a good thing to do, and there's no pressure on that camp for performance. It's literally just to connect with your teammates and people you don't know. So it is important, and I think our team is such a tight-knit group that, like, we need that and we want that. So yeah, it's really nice.
Big news today as well outside of the squad was Scott Beamans hanging around till at least 2029. Huge news for the team, I suppose. We're talking about relationships. Seems to have a really great relationship with all the players.
Yeah, and it's so important to have that continuity. I think he has a clear vision on where he wants the team to go and what he thinks we can achieve, and I think that's really exciting. And for someone to, like, have that backing for the team and have that vision is so important, and just be so invested in us. Yeah, so obviously last year with the World Cup, like, we would hope have got further, but like, that doesn't mean the book stops here. Now he has plans, he knows what he wants to do for the next one, and it's important that he has that backing so that he can back his decisions and his plans and stuff for the future.
Just finally, I was chatting a bit to Bafin about the kind of incorporation of sevens players and whether Docker plays, everyone off Media Day has played sevens now that I've talking about it, but have you felt that you're a fully 15s player now that you've made that kind of transition? I suppose it was always a talking point that there are always talented players coming from sevens. It's just about learning the systems, and especially as a fullback, learning that kind of backfield and how that works. Have you felt that you're a fully fledged 15s player now?
Yeah, I still have lots to learn. Like, I'm still like young in terms of my playing age in 15s, so like, I still have loads to positionally learn as well, and like, the game's always changing and growing, so you have to change and adapt with it. I'd say I've definitely gathered a lot of experience over the last year. I think we played 12 games in the last 12 months, essentially, so that's quite exciting, and I've been very lucky to be a part of all of them. So I think I gathered a lot of knowledge, but there's still so much more to learn. Like, you can see even like the best players, even in the men and women's games, have all still so much to learn and adapt and make their game better. So yeah, it's exciting.
Are you happy staying at 15? I know you can play a couple different positions. Is that where your kind of happy place in the pitch is at the minute?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I was saying earlier to the lads that like, it's such a different position than playing sevens or somewhere in the front line. You've less touches on the ball. A lot has to go right for you to be in space and stuff like that. But I find that really challenging, and you have to work on your patience. But I've really enjoyed it, and I think I've kind of come into myself in that position, and I've started to really see how I can play make for the team from the backfield in terms of when we get kicks or when we get the ball out, and what we can do as back three or with the centres to create the space and get the tries for the team, which is exciting.
Has there been anyone, like a fullback, maybe in the women's or men's game, that you've looked to and sought advice from to play fullback?
Sought advice from Emer Considine would have been one, of Larissa Muldoon. My sister Kim played fullback as well for Ireland. So I always chat to them about it, but I think like, just watching different clips of different people, like obviously Ellie Culdon's like a superstar. She's very different style of game than I have. stuff, but I still know that I can take stuff from her game. Ramos, I know we're all watching him in the minute, his highlight reel, but his stats in the World Cup for a 15, like how many touches he gets on the ball in attack and stuff, is amazing. So kind of just looking at other players and what I need to kind of add to my game to be as good as they are.
Delighted to be joined by Beifin Parsons. Beifin, how are things?
Things are really good, yeah. We're here in George's Quay and it's unreal building, so it's cool to be here.
Exciting times. Squad's just come out and you're in it, of course. Excited for the Six Nations?
So excited. I think everyone has been building throughout the Prem or the Celtic Challenge, and now we just can't wait to get into camp, and that excitement is really, really building.
You've had a decent run of games in the Celtic Challenge with the Clovers. I suppose you've had your injury issues over the last few years. How nice has it been to kind of get that run of games?
It's fantastic. I don't think I've ever had this many 15s games before coming into a campaign, just be it through injury or through sevens. So it's really nice to get some minutes in the legs and really feel like you're able to try new things or build your confidence. So it's been great.
Do you feel like you're a 15s player now? I suppose there were so many players came into the squad from the sevens. Do you feel like you've fully kind of transitioned back to 15s? I know you started in 15s, but have you kind of felt that you're back as that type of player?
Yeah, I feel like I've always felt like a 15s player because I started in 15s. So it's good to be back. Feels like I'm back home. So yeah, I know I love 15s in the game. So yeah.
And there's I suppose, coming into the Six Nations, there was news about Amy Lee's absence from the squad over the next period of time with her twins on the way. So there's a spot on the wing open there. I suppose you'd be looking in to getting in there. Firstly, about Amy Lee, a word on her and her presence in the squad and how much you'll miss her, but then also the opportunity to get in starting for Ireland again.
Yeah, Lee has been like such a legend in the game for all of our squad, and to see her coming in, you know, 4 days a week, training away, doing the best she can right now to set herself up for success later on when she reintegrates back, it's just trailblazing stuff, like what she's doing for all of us. It's challenging our own beliefs, like that you can, you know, have a family and continue your career. So I think it can't be spoken about enough the amount that she's doing for all of us, and she's doing it quietly and in the background, and she's such a leader on our team, and she really leads through her actions. So just seeing how she's operating through pregnancy is just amazing, and yeah, she's just an icon.
There's 9 uncapped players coming into the squad now, and I suppose you would have played with some of them in the Clovers. Do you feel, as someone who's been around the squad for quite a while now, a bit of a responsibility to kind of help them integrate into the squad?
Yeah, I think all 9 uncapped players are extremely capable, and they've shown through the Celtic Challenge and through other campaigns, and like that they know what they're about, and they're, you know, they're confident players. So there's a part of, you know, being one of the older ones now and showing them the ropes, but also like these girls are phenomenal in their own right, and they'll pave their own path.
I mentioned your injury issues. Have you kind of felt that you're back to your best now? It's a little bit of time since your last major injury. Do you feel like you're back and as good as ever, really?
Yeah, I do. I feel, you know, really confident in my body at the moment. I've had, like, you know, a good run of games, and yeah, every time that you play and take the field, you can build your confidence. So I'm feeling really good, and we get looked after so well in the RFU, you know, between medical staff and our AP. So feeling ready to go, yeah.
The green wave is going to come up again, I suppose, the Six Nations. It kind of took over the commentary around last year's tournament. Talk to me a bit about that and how that's developing, and, you know, integrating new players and that, and also Scott Beaman signing on this morning, a new contract till 2029. He's a massive part of that whole kind of movement.
Yeah, I feel like we're building real continuity. You know, we have, after the World Cup, didn't have too many people retire, so we're building from that, and campaign on campaign we're getting better, you know, coming up the ranks through WXV3 was when, you know, Scott made his entrance into our squad, and I think we've just gone from strength to strength ever since. I think this Six Nations is really exciting, having 3 home games, and we're definitely targeting them, and then with that France game, you know, you can call it a grudge match or whatever, but yeah, we're going after that as well. So we have big goals for this campaign, and I think, yeah, the green wave has been amazing in supporting us, and you know, we can really feel that building.
Before the tournament even kicks off, you'll be involved in 2 major milestones. I suppose the Six Nations record attendance in the first game against England, but then also the first women's game in the Aviva. Talk me through both of them and what it means to you.
Yeah, I think we keep getting updates on how many ticket sales there are in Twickenham and how many there are in Aviva, and it's just so cool. Like, even being in the Aviva supporting the lads throughout their Six Nations, you're like, oh my god, this is like a pinch me moment that I actually get to play here.
Yeah.
And I think starting off my career, I did, like, it was beyond my wildest dreams to think we'd have a fixture there. So it's just a tribute to the RFU and to Irish women's rugby in general, that that's now somewhere where we can play our rugby. So it's going to be fantastic.
And 60 plus thousand in Twickenham, that must be slightly nerve-wracking, but yeah, exciting at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it can't go without saying how much the English women's team have done for women's rugby in general. Like, they are, you know, setting the bar, and 65 plus thousand at a game is for a standalone fixture is unheard of for us so far. So yeah, it's just incredible.